by Naples losing a tooth today. You know, there's a bunch of drama behind the tooth coming out and stuff. Joey goes, "You're going to have to tell Rennell that you have a family emergency because I'm not dealing with this shit all night."
Fair.
And I just laughed. And then she laughed too.
I don't think she was kidding.
She wasn't until she heard herself say. Then she started laughing at herself. Kind of funny.
She's funny.
Kind of funny. So have you seen my video with my favorite new song? The Whitney Houston song?
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Did you see it though?
No.
No? You need to see it. You need to hear it. So awesome.
It was
awesome.
So descriptive that I heard it without hearing it.
All right. Serving up a high quality from the Bay. Brooks of York features a soulful pop vocals with blending guitar and synthetic goodness. Also, this artist is an innovator by using the name Your Price Tool before progressive. Finally, when asked to define the music, the artist states, "It's all me, baby." Welcome, Brooks!
Thanks for having me. I said all of that.
Those
are all direct quotes. It's my autobiography. Well, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
I love the light bulb fish behind you.
Oh, right on. Yeah,
that's dope.
I've got a few. They're all prints because I can't afford the actual piece. But Francesca Tucci is an artist that I discovered during the pandemic because what else could we do but be on our phones? And she let me have this one next to it. There's a few others, but I can't move my computer without probably not.
Is the snail something else, or is it just a snail?
So it's a snail, and you can kind of see like a pink dot in the middle of it. So that's a door. And then up top.
Nice.
I think it's like two light bulbs up top. So, I mean, yeah, her mind is elsewhere, if y'all can kind of see that.
That's really cool. I'm sorry. That has nothing to do with music.
Listen. Cool. Her art's great. Like, if you just, like, go on Instagram and search Francesca Tucci, Tucci, she pops up. She's a graphic design artist. She's wonderful. I've got a few other things of hers around, but,
Nice.
So when I was looking for you online, I realized I was just looking – digging through the online stuff, just looking everywhere, and my question is this, do you like circles? Because that's the only common theme on your single artwork.
It was really what the graphic artist I worked with for that, Nick Robinson. The first single we did, he had kind of like this circular thing going on, and when we did the second song, it kind of came back up again. And then by the time we did this, like the third single and went to him for the artwork again, I was like, we should just kind of stick with this theme. And so he did. I think with some of the newer stuff that's coming out, in June and then later this year, we're kind of deviating from that. We're getting, less digital and more like hand drawn stuff. Cause this hand drawn stuff, it's very reminiscent of like children's books from the 80s and 90s, like the illustrations that would accompany that, which for me is like super nostalgic. But I am a fan of circles. I like seeing patterns and things and having things repeat, so it kind of helps to pull it all together. I hope anyway. Yes. That's the idea.
Yeah, I was looking at it and I was like, there's a circle on every single thing I'm looking at, but nothing in the circle or outside of the circle is common.
So no, I guess that's true.
Just something I noticed. Are you going to branch out to squares, rectangulars, maybe a prism or something?
we're really taking polls, from the fans to see what sort of shapes should be, on the 23 and 24 releases.
All right.
So if you have any ideas, I'm taking notes.
So how long have you been making music?
Very long time. Brooks of York is a project, was started in 2019. But I was in a few different bands or groups prior to that I've been making music since I was a teenager. So we're coming up on like 20 some odd years worth of making music. Obviously the earlier stuff I will share with no one because it's kind of bad.
How many instruments do you play, or is it all digital?
Primary instrument is guitar. I play some keys. I would never call myself like a piano player. That does kind of run in my family, and my grandmother was always kind of like, you should stick with that. Why do you not know how to play? But then she's heard some of this stuff. She's like, well, this is really good. Clearly you've been playing and practicing more piano, and I don't get into like, you know, quantization and copying, pasting, things like that. But, I think a fair amount of it is digital now. On most of the releases, some of the musicians I've worked with, we've combined acoustic and digital drums. Big fan of like, you know, putting those together.
Yeah, I heard that in some of the tracks you sent.
Yeah, I mean, I Got the Moon was the second track I released under Brooks of York. And that was me kind of still figuring out what this was. I was in a few different kind of like, you know, mostly cemented in rock groups before that. So what I slowly figured out for this was like, well, most of my favorite tracks from some of the rock bands I listen to, like Thrice is a big one for me, were like the one or two songs on the record that were like super soft, either like very acoustic forward or, you know, clean, no overdriven guitars with a lot of like electronic drum elements to them. And so I just kind of found myself going back to that. Whereas like in the previous rock groups I was in, I always had to convince everyone and then like really lay out like what this is. And those were more like jam oriented atmospheres. So for me to walk in and be like, hey, here's this thing that I did. Here's what I want you to play. I could never really get the words to come out right and just sounded like I was being a control freak and kind of a dick. So here it's just me. And then, I work with an engineer and producer, Sam Stoff, who really helps to pull everything together. And then I've worked with a couple different drummers. Andy Porta being the one I've worked with the most, and he's, you know, I'm in New York, Andy's in Maine, Sam's not too far away from me, but we do everything pretty much postal service at this point.
Thing I wanted to know, what happened to New?
To New?
Yeah, Brooks of York, what happened to New?
Right, so I was in a band called True Apothecary for a long time. We went through dozens of lineup changes, and it was me and the lead guitarist, and we were pretty much like the face of it. And then every time somebody would come in, we'd have to train them up, you know, go through the set list again. And it got to a point where we were just burnt out. So we stopped making music. Eventually me and him stopped making music together. We're still like best friends. And like 2 or 3 years went by where I just wasn't writing or recording anything. I'd still pick up a guitar here and there, but wasn't doing anything with it. So when it came time to release Hot Copy, which is the first song I did under Brooks of York, I really did that as an anniversary present to my wife. And I was like, well, I've got to like put it out as something. And I was using Instagram and kind of YouTube as the medium to show her this thing. And there's a whole other like backstory behind it of how like I, you know, it wasn't just like, hey, happy anniversary, here's a song. I sent her on a treasure hunt of sorts. So my Instagram handle was Brooks of York. Brooks being my last name. I live in New York, kind of like playing on, you know, I always butcher this explanation, but it was kind of like tongue in cheek, like making fun of if you go back to like looking at like old English where it's like, here's so-and-so of this town. It was meant to be like kind of play into that. And then, when it came time to release this, I was like, I'll just release it as this. Cause it's, you know, I'm going to put it on Instagram. I started getting people being like, this is great, really into it. It's more like pop punk if you ever listen to that song. I don't know. I was just like, well, I'll just keep putting it out under this because I always hated having to have those like band name discussions. What are we going to call ourselves? What do you want to do? Do you want to rename the band? So trying to find something for myself, I'm like, there's only me to talk to and I'll just do that all day, clearly. And I was like, well, this is already here. I'm already used to seeing it. I like the way it sounds.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I'll just do this.
So who would you say your like main influences are?
That's always a tough one. Everybody probably says this, right? Like I have such a, like an eclectic, you know, background. I'd like to think Death Cab, Thrice,
yeah.
Bonniver, Bon Iver, I always mispronounce that, but like I really love 90s R&B. So like Boyz II Men and Babyface are way up there for me. There's a host of producers like Timbaland and Rodney Jerkins, Teddy Riley, who like, you know, did a lot of production for Michael Jackson and then obviously Blackstreet. So like, I guess that's kind of like the short list. There's a host of artists I listen to now that are mostly instrumental that I can't really say are influences, but that's, you know, I listen to things like Okami, Roan, and Charisma mostly these days. And then I started listening to this lo-fi group, Strawberry Milk, which is I like the name. And then all the songs are like super short, and without realizing it, they just loop. So I'll just have it on when I'm working. I'm like, oh, this song, like, this is great. It just keeps going. No, it's just on loop on Spotify.
Strawberry Milk.
Yeah, they're cool.
That sounds like something my daughter would really like too.
And all their album art, it looks to be like AI generated. One is like called something otter. And so it's like two little baby otters on it. And another one has to do with like kittens, and it's like three kittens like in space. So like the aesthetic they have is really cool too. So I look at it and I'm like, I can't hate any of this.
No, everything is right.
Yeah. I'm digging it. But yeah, so that's the short list, I guess.
Brent, I know you want to get to a song. I see it.
Well, I did want to ask, are the kittens wearing helmets?
I got to look, actually. I was listening to it earlier today. It's funny. It's actually somebody who follows me on social media, and she just like kind of like made an aside about, you know, doing music. And I was like, oh, like what is it? Like, let's check it out. She's always been super nice. So Space Kittens is the name of it. They are not wearing helmets, but they are wearing goggles in space. So
let's get into Big to the Sky.
That's what I meant.
Right on.
All right. As you can hear the cries of the children in the back.
Yeah. It's a familiar sound. You go hard in the Brooks household. Yeah.
You don't like sleep at all.
You know, I'm learning to deal without it. A lot of coffee, some exercise helps, and then like just like random like snack attacks where like the whole box of cookies is just gone.
Are you drinking out of a Wonder Woman cup? I love you.
Yeah, I finished my coffee before.
Oh, he has a chaos cup. Nice.
Yeah, this thing slaps. Oh, right on. Yeah.
Yeah,
man.
We got some stickers. We need to give them out on Patreon. I'm trying to figure out how.
Yeah, anyway. Artemis is great, and the merch is pretty sick. The merch is pretty sick too.
Yeah,
he does.
It's great.
He does. He's got a handful of that I know of. Graphic artist in his server, and I'll just see random shit posted. I'm like, what is this? This is amazing. This is amazing. And they're like, oh, I just like did this the other day. And I'm just like,
big deal.
Yeah. I'm drawing stick figures over here for my kids. My daughter's like, draw me a unicorn. I'm like, oh, this is going to be horrible. She's like, that's not a unicorn. I'm like, I know it's not. There's no argument there. She's like, do it better. And I'm like, oh, okay. You can't yell at other kids like this. Like, this is bad. So I'm going to draw one for you. I'm like, and like, she's pretty good. Like, she got to a point where like we had to just like keep buying her books because she kept drawing on the fucking walls. Oh, she still does it though. And I'm like, yo, you have books. Like, do you want a new book? I'll buy you so many new books. You just stop drawing on the walls.
Okay, here's what you do. Okay. So just, it was me. I got, you know, you can buy paneling for the wall that is dry erase from fucking Home Depot.
Huh.
We got one panel. I nailed that sucker in and I was like, this is the only part of the wall. And she had a big dry erase wall and it stopped being everywhere else.
So, I'm probably going to try that. My wife did, we have like a counter with nothing underneath it. So it's meant to be almost like you pull up a couple chairs or whatever and you've had extra eating space. And she painted the wall underneath it. All like that chalkboard paint or whatever.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I did a table like that once. It's great.
And we just got to the point where, cause it's green, where the kids are like, okay, only on the green. Cause the first day it was really cool. And then it was really not cool. Cause they were just like, great, take the chalk everywhere. And I was like, oh, this is not.
Hey, but at least chalk, you can get chalk off.
True.
It's when they get a hold. My daughter really liked Sharpies, and I had an uncle who was real thick, and he gave her like 50 Sharpies.
Oh my god! So you slashed his tires? that would have been the move. I'm like, all right, Charlie, here we go.
Yeah, I don't miss those days. Now she's 17, and we just have art books everywhere, just sketchbooks, just everywhere. I'm always putting them in piles and then she's taking them out again.
I mean,
but we went through all of that.
I mean, for what it's worth, like, I don't think there's an expiration date on like deserved revenge. It's like, you know, if he's still kicking around and he's still got tires.
Oh, we don't speak. It's fine.
It's probably better.
Then I was the bad guy when I took him away.
Nah, fuck that guy.
Bad guy to the daughter, though. Like, she was like, Mom, that's my Christmas present. Right. I was like, but I'll get you other markers.
You could have took the filter out of it. Just say, your dick uncle, look, he gives you these and they don't even have, you can't even use them.
Oh, man. I had to go back in time.
You got to be deceptive.
I was overworked.
So anytime I tell Mabel, every time I say something to her, she looks at Mom to make sure that it's actually something that actually occurred in reality. She's like, Dad said blah, blah, blah. Did that really happen? Yes, it did happen. I don't know if I still believe it. She always has to think whenever I say something.
But look at who you are. Anyway, aside from kids, where were we? I got distracted with kids.
I don't know.
Big to the sky. Tell us about it.
The instrumentation is kind of me moving, not necessarily away from more guitar forward stuff, but really pushing into, more synth driven sound. So things that I have yet to release are just kind of like sitting on the back burner. Like they're done. I just have to manage my time a little bit better. They're going to be more synth forward, like some sample stuff in there as well. So Big to the Sky is kind of like that bridge from having this very clean guitar driven sound into one that's a little bit more synth driven. But I mean, ultimately, I still think it's kind of dreamy. The title itself. So all my song titles are things that my kids have said. So out of context, it's kind of like, what does that mean? What is Big to the Sky? And my kid was talking to me and talking about how, you know, like we grow up and, she was like, well, you know, at first we're small and then we get big to the sky. And like, you know, when kids are like super, super small and they're kind of putting words together and there's this innocent element to it as they're still kind of figuring it out. All my song titles are really that. And I just have a list of those on my phone that I reference. So as I get to a track, I'll just go back through like the ones that I haven't used. And, you know, I'm always writing new ones down. It's like, all right, what fits this? And it's usually just you go down the list. You're like, that's the one. That's the one for this track.
So I like the beginning, it really sounds like there's a heartbeat at the beginning.
Oh, right on.
It's really close to it. You have a nice full sound, and the vocal harmonies about 30 seconds into it are really cool.
Thanks.
There's cool vocal panning to the left and to the right as you're going through the song at different times.
I do a lot of double tracking, especially on harmonies, and a lot of wide panning in general. And the engineer, producer I work with, Sam Stoff, me and him are very aligned when it comes to that. Whenever I'm, writing, it's like, you know, you get the basic idea down, right? It's like first chorus, bridge, out, something like that. It's kind of like what I stick to. It might be little breaks in between. With my process, I'll just go through and usually like I'll hear something and I'll be like, oh, this should be there. And like, it's not currently there, but I just feel like, I don't know, like I heard it by accident, or maybe it was like a delay trail that kind of sounded like this other thing. So at some point I was like, I really want like some big toms there, and like nothing was big enough. And I was like, oh, let's try fucking timpani, 'cause like those are cool. But no, I also like the idea of blending in like non-traditional elements. I mean, I think that's what's great about working inside, you know, a digital box. 'Cause like I've never performed any of these songs. I've never practiced any of these songs. It's all like, you know, I have a part which leads to another part. I end up laying it down, and then I come back to it a few days later and ends up getting fleshed out over the period of like a few months. So, you know, I heard what sounded like timpanis. I was like, this needs to go in here. That's usually how like a lot of the vocal layering happens too, where I'm like, oh, let's try that. And I'm a huge fan of vocal layering. I think it's a great way, to like just increase, like tension sometimes or increase, you know, like the intensity of what's going on. And, you know, I'm always like hypercritical of, you know, repeating a chorus too many times. 'Cause like some of the people I listen to the most, I'm like, God damn, this song's like 4.5 minutes long. It doesn't need to be, mostly stuff like from the 80s and 90s. And I have severe ADHD. So I'm like, what can I add in to like keep somebody's interest and also have it sound cool?
Close to the fire, recognize the sound, just to let it go. I'll be the breaking me slowly. Oh, I guess I try not to let go. But I might find me.
So you do a lot of social media. Have you found that social media has been helpful to your brand? Obviously, a little bit because you keep doing it. But I know some people, like myself, I know it's important to what we do, but I really struggle with it.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle with it as well. I found that when I really started to focus on it during the pandemic, because like I just...
What else were you to do?
Right. Yeah. That's when it was the most beneficial. I had a lot more interaction, you know, obviously since, you know, we came out of that and, you know, whatever you want to end up calling it, but like getting back to normal, whatever the new normal is, like I have far less time to do that. I mean, my job requires me to travel a decent amount. And I'm also just like, I don't know what to do or what to say. So, you know, outside of putting like a, you know, me playing like a guitar loop with my board or trying to say something that I think is funny with, probably isn't very funny. You know, I have no idea what I'm doing on social media. Since linking up with Artemis, he's given me, you know, some really good advice and, you know, clearly what he's doing is working and
yeah.
I don't have that, you know, that funny edge to me, but I'm like, cool, man. Like if you tell me to do something, I'm going to go do that thing. Like, I'm just like, let's go do it. Like, you know, but I also understand that, you know, it takes a while for these things to happen, and you have to post every day apparently, which I was not very good at.
No.
Yeah. So like I started working with Artemis like maybe 2 months ago, like a month ago in earnest, I guess, is when things really kind of picked up. And so for the last month-ish, maybe a little bit less, I've been posting like once, twice a day, and you know, I'm starting to see those little things, you know, build incrementally. So. We'll see what happens. But yeah, short version is I have no idea what I'm doing on social media. I don't know what I'm supposed to do on social media. And anybody who gives me advice, I'm like, yeah, cool. You're doing better than I am. Great. I'm going to try that. So there's a couple people I follow. There's another group I'm working with, Wide Waters, and the primary songwriter there is like, he's running our social media, and he's always like, we got to do this. We got to do this. And he'll hit me up and be like, hey, I need you to make a video where like you lip sync, or I need you to make a video where it's like you playing guitar. I'm like, yep, cool. I'll do it. But he turned me on to a couple people. One is, Bacon Bits. If you look for him on, I honestly like look him up. And one of the key pieces of advice that he gives out is like, hey, if you don't know what to do on social media, look at the people you like, right? See what, you know, this one's has like 2,000 views. This one's has like 15,000 views. He's like, look at those. And then he's like, just copy it. Don't even try to emulate. Just fucking copy it. So I'm like, okay, that's probably not a bad idea.
How did you and Artemis hook up?
So I was reminded of this by my wife when I went to her and like after he and I started talking, I was like, hey, like there's this, you know, artist Walls. And we started talking. She's like, hey. Hey, asshole, like, I turned you on to him. And I was like, oh, you did. You know, it was soon after he released, oh my God, what's the track? Leave Her Alone?
Leave Her Alone.
Yeah, Leave Her Alone. I'm like, I can hear every song and then like song titles I blank on, like with everyone. Like, what's your favorite Phil Collins song? I'm like, I don't, the one that's like Sis's Studio, is that the track? I don't know. So anyways, like I'd been listening and then I started following him on social media. It was on Instagram, and I think I was honestly have to go back and look. I think I was just you know, commenting back and forth, and then one of us got in the other one's DMs, and at some point he was like, hey, who do you use for your mix engineer? Like, I have a song I'm working on and I need it to be like finalized and like pretty fast. And so that really started us having real conversations, and then when those files went back and forth between him and Sam, I was like, I'm just gonna like take a shot in the dark here. I was like, hey man, I'd really love to like remix this if you're ever open to that. And he was like, yeah, sure, go ahead. And I was like, okay. So in my mind, I'm like, he's gonna let me do this because he's being a nice person and probably gets asked this a lot and probably won't like it. And we'll never release it, which is like, that's the move, right? It's just like, well, I can tell you no, and then probably lose a fan. This is, you know, just my thought process at the time. And, So I did it, and then I sent it to him, you know, just kind of going, hey, like, here's the direction I'm heading in. Like, and I was looking for feedback, and kind of what I discovered, you know, a few weeks later was like, he's like, no, man, like, he's like, I like your sound. I like what you're doing. He's like, own it. Like, you want to do a remix? And I say, you can do a remix. He's like, I'm not going to put it out if it's not good. He's like, but all your stuff's awesome. Which I was just like, what the fuck is happening? Like, this person is incredibly successful, and they're not, one, they're talking to me, and then like, two, they're complimenting me. So yeah, it was, you know, in short, just, you know, him trying to find a good mix engineer for Gongress, and then me doing a remix of it. Or I just finished doing a remix EP for 6 of his songs. Yeah, he released the remix of Saddy Daddy-O. So like that one is out, and
that was good.
Oh, thank you, appreciate it. That was a lot of fun to make, because I've always wanted to do remixes of other people's work, but it, you know, for whatever reason, there's nothing lined up. So when he was like, yeah, do you want to do this? And I was like, absolutely. You know,
I don't want to say no.
I was just like, great. So I literally stopped everything I was doing. And then he gave me a deadline for it. So I took off work to knock this thing out. And the whole time I'm sending him just revisions, and I'm like, hey, like, what do you think? You know, are you cool with this? Like, this doesn't have to be like this in this spot. Just like, you know, overanalyzing everything. And he's like, no, man, he's like, lean into it. Like, do whatever you like. But yeah, it's been really, really awesome, like, entering like his world, his universe, hanging out on his Discord server, which is a whole new platform for me. The whole Artemis aspect of music is super new to me, but it's been one of the most rewarding relationships I've had on a musical tip.
That's awesome. And that's what happens when you take a chance and just say, hey, I'd like to do this.
And like now after talking about it, I'm like, oh, I got to go back through my DMs and see if that's actually the way it happened. Cause I'm like,
questioning.
I don't know. Yeah. I honestly don't know. Like, cause I've only been working with him for like, you know, again, like 2 months, but really like a month in earnest. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. It's just, it's looking at like where he's at and where I am and where I've been trying to be. There's just this huge gap in between. Yeah. And so I'm just like, this is like a dream state. All right, cool. Like, you want me to hang out with you? That's fucking great. Let's do that. This is great.
Have you felt like there's been a bump in your listeners since you started doing
Texas?
Yeah. Is it actually bringing people over?
It is. I mean, it's happening in a way that I definitely expected, right? Like, you know, I did one remix for a very popular artist. You know, everybody's listening to that one song because of him, not because of me. Makes total sense, right? And like, that's the song that's really driving all the traffic and all the plays. But I have noticed, like, just looking at Spotify numbers, you know, my followers have gone up, like, not a ton, but, you know, in context of what I've been doing before, like, it's a significant bump. You know, prior to working with Artemis, like, I would hover between like 300 and 700 monthly listeners, and now I'm over 3,000. Which is, you know, it, like, that's, like, for me, like, that's huge.
That's a
I'm
big
like, this
jump
is great.
In a couple months, that's impressive.
The song was released less than a month ago. So, yeah. Like, I'm just like, this is fucking wonderful. And, you know, his big push for me was like, hey, you need to be on TikTok. Like, actually, like, that's the platform where, you know, I built what I'm doing. I'm like, great, cool, let's go. And, you know, seeing, like, a lot of, like, his core listeners, people that are like on his server, interact with me, you know, compliment the stuff that I'm doing, and I think meaning it. They're all like super nice people. So
yeah, your
like,
TikTok's fun.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm trying, but again, like to the earlier question,
I have no idea.
Fucking no idea what I'm doing. I'm just like, people like, you know, I think like some of the best advice out there is like, you know, be true to yourself, be yourself. I'm just like, cool, and like, with the way the music's going and for me, what's, you know, this is like the most successful I've ever been at music. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I don't give a shit what people think. Like, here's somebody who's super talented and successful telling me to just like lean into it.
That's what I'm doing.
Yep.
Yep. So let's talk about Imaginate. And now that I know that is a title because something your kid says, I need to know the story behind the title.
Sure. Hanging out with my two oldest, who at the time were probably like 5 and 4 now, they're 7 and 6, and we're doing bedtime. And for the longest time, what they wanted was a story from your imagination. Mm-hmm. And it took them a while to get the word down, imagination. And this was during that, that period where they were still kind of like, you know what they're saying, but they're trying to get it down. And I was super tired and I was like, oh man, let's just, you know, I'll read you some stories or like, can I just like tell you about my day? And my oldest was like, Dad, in order for you to tell us a story, we need you to imaginate. And it was like, again, it was like one of those like, it like really innocent, like, and also like heartfelt moments. And I just like, pulled out my phone. I was like, I wrote that shit down. And I was like, all right, man, we're going to do a story. And it was like, cause like whenever they do this, like I just get like energized and, you know, cause you get it, right? Parent constantly tired and those moments happen. And I'm like, this is fucking great.
This
so,
is why.
You know, yeah. So I, and I'm not sure. Oh yeah. I guess it was with the first song, right? So the first song I did under this name was Hot Copy. And I was in the process of writing it. My wife didn't know because it was an anniversary gift to her. Huh. And we're downstairs. The basement in our house is just a playroom. And in reality, every fucking room is a playroom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, that's what we call it, right? It's got the super duper bright rugs with stains mm-hmm. from everything. And at the time, we just had two kids. My daughter was like just three. Everything that we would drink was just like one finger. Because she wants to put one finger in the thing and then taste it. And so every morning, kind of have the same conversation, right? Because we're just like living off coffee. And I was like, no. It's like, it's hot coffee. And she was like, hot copy. One morning, she said it again. And I'm like, just, you know, the music's in my head. And I'm like, I have no idea what to call this. And she said it. And I was just like, yep, that's the thing. And then from then on, I was like, oh, let's just do this. I don't have to think about what the thing's going to be called. I'm just going to have my kids name it, whether they realize it or not. And maybe when they're older, they'll look at this and be like, well, that's kind of cool. That was my oldest. That was his word. I still use it. You know, I tell people at work, they're like, I don't know. I can't see it. I don't know how we're going to do that. I'm like, you got to imaginate. And they're like, do you mean imagine? I'm like, no. And I don't give them any fucking context. He's like, this is just for me.
No. How did the song itself come together?
Most of my songs are like kind of sad or somber or like both. If you like really dive into the lyrics, so if you're having a bad day, like don't fucking do that. but this one was a bit more uplifting. And I, again, it was a few years later, I wanted to write something for my wife. So the lyrical content is about her. And, around the time I was like, you know, I wanted to write something for her. I picked up my acoustic guitar, which I very rarely do these days, and it just kind of started to come out.
Together.
Yeah, had fun with that one. You know, as I always do, there's you know actual like electric guitar in there, but I really mm-hmm. tried to stay as close to a lighter, more acoustic driven format. Although there are some fun samples in there that I had fun playing around with, but yeah, sonically I was really pleased with that one. It did like. The worst.
It's pretty.
Out of all my songs in terms of like traction or plays. But, after coming into, Artemis's world, a lot of his people who are on his server were like, what is this song? This is great. And, you know, I started to get like compliments flooding in. I'm like, okay. Cause like, you know, you put out whatever the thing is, whatever the project is. And it doesn't get received well, you just kind of write it off and don't come back to it. And, that was part of the reason I ended up choosing this one today. Cause like his fan base, which had been like super kind to me, like, well, we love this song. Like, this is like one of your best. I'm like, oh, it's like, talk about validation. But yeah.
Cover me in your warm night and push me to be so much more. And I try. It's not new, but it feels like every time when you touch me, I fly. It's the way you separate me from the things that complicate me. Changes more time. Meeting sooner or creating further hours in the day to entwine. I is your design.
Do your instrumental influences differ from your vocal influences? And if so, how?
I've never been asked that question. So, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I've never thought about that, which probably means it's a pretty badass question. When I think about influences, I guess I really think about the bands or like the groups or the artists that I listen to the most, you know, especially like during my formative years, and the ones that I'll go back to and listen now. And you know, there's some like bit of nostalgia in there. But I've never thought about it from just an instrumentation standpoint. Cause like guitar is my primary instrument, but at the same time, like I'm not like a lead guitarist. Mm-hmm. So every time I go to my guitar tech and he's like, he shreds, he's amazing. As one of the best technical players I've ever seen, you know, the conversation's always like, hey man, so like, you know, what kind of gauges and how far do you like it to be from the board? And like, you know, what kind of bends do you do? Like, and I'm like, I don't know anything you just said to me. Everything I do is super simple. I live in like that singer songwriter realm, and I just whatever like pushed into like a lot of reverb and delay, and like some of my musician buddies are like, yeah, like that's what you use when you don't know how to play guitar. And I'm like, there's for me, there's definitely some merit to that, but I don't know. I just with this project especially, like I like the softer side of things. I like anything that when I can step away from and go, that's super pretty. I really like that. I'll listen to that guitar, you know, those guitar parts by themselves. That for me is like a winner. And then in the Wide Waters group that I'm in, we're essentially all just like producers and songwriters at heart. Sam is in that group as well. And he was like, yeah, I was trying to like figure out this one part that you had. And he's like, and he knows I'm not a technically proficient player. And he's like, I can't fucking play this. Like, how did you do this? And so like we open up the session and he's like, oh, you're a piece of shit. It's three guitars at once. And I'm like, yeah, there's no way I could do that. But, anyway, didn't really answer your question. I think,
sure you did. It's fine.
All right,
well, do you want some help in answering it?
Sure.
Okay. You sing pop, R&B, soul. When you play, you do not play that. In any of your songs, it's not that at all. It's more of it's almost like a Gin Blossoms kind of sound. Things like that. You add a lot more effects on it, but you're a picker more so than anything else. So who do you listen to that picks a lot?
I don't know. I mean, like I'm just thinking of artists I listen to that implement guitars, and some of it's like ones I've already said, right? So like there's Death Cab, there's
yeah,
Bryce,
for sure.
Mm-hmm. And there's Bon Iver. I don't know.
I can see the Death Cab.
Okay, cool. So where can our listeners find you and your music?
I'm on all streaming platforms. So if you can, you know, I don't know if there's a visual representation of this, but like Brooks of York, everything
Brooks
is under
of,
that.
All one yeah. name. Okay.
All it's all smushed together. Brooks of York. So if they can type that in, then they will find me. Instagram, TikTok. I'm there most days. There's a link tree on both. So if you ever can't find that, but you find me on social media, there's a link tree. Go there. I should probably get a .com at some point, but I don't know. Haven't done it yet. It's on the list.
We are gonna tell you thank you for being on the show real quick and then switch gears over to the Patreon content. If you're not a patron, please become a patron. I don't want to say we're begging, but we're begging a little bit. All right. Thank you so much for being on the show.
All right. Us tonight. Hope you enjoyed listening to Mr. Brooks and getting to hear a little sample of his music. Should be dropping some singles very soon, so check him out, show him some love, and show us some love. And Ronell's going to tell you how you can show us some love.
You can become a patron. The Patreon link is below. You can buy some merch. I have compared it to other people's merch, and it is about the same, maybe even a little less depending on the things. And we have a new logo, and the merch looks beautiful. You're going to buy a shot glass anyway. You know, if you go to Spencer's and buy a shot glass, it's going to be the same, and it would really help us keep bringing you independent musicians. without us having to burn the candle at both ends. Like, follow, subscribe, share, and download this episode of Sound Pollution Podcast. And last but not least, make sure that you click those links below to the artist that was on the show and show them some love by their music and tell them that you heard of them through us. And I think that's about it. It's just two tired parents ready to fucking die. Tired for different reasons. So we need you to get out there and